Thank you for your support. It was an outstanding show, I'm telling you. All right, y'all. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Eric Jackson, and today is Open Mic Monday. And with Open Mic Monday, man, we have a whole lot of stuff we want to talk about today. And hopefully there's some things you want to talk about. But, hey, we'll get to that when we get to it. They're right. That's what I'm talking about today, y'all, because it's raining. And I have nothing else to do but to sit here and entertain and talk and have some fun. That's right. All right. Anyway. Well, hello, Miss Shasta. I see you in the chat room. There will be no nonsense today. That's all I'm going to say. All right, y'all. Check this out. If you want to join the conversation today, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or join me on Twitter. At Driven4FRLife62, or better yet, go to my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. Leave me a message, a note, or whatever you want to do, you know, because there's some things you may want to hear on the show that I don't know anything, you know, that you may want to hear. I'd be more than happy to go ahead and schedule, and we can talk about it when time comes, okay? All right, now, here we go. Oh, boy, I tell you, boy, I'm feeling pretty good right about now. Anyway, let's get on. All right, this show covers some very touchy subjects. So before we get started, I'm going to officially apologize to anyone that may be offended. That means if you're sensitive, your feelings may get hurt, or you just feel I'm not being fair, or you just feel however you feel, okay? Look, it's like this. We all adults. And in the heat of a conversation, some things may get said. Some things are often said, in fact. However, if you're that sensitive, I do apologize. But you have to understand we are adults and we have adult conversations. Okay? Now, oh, Lord, that's number one. Oh, yeah, we about to make it hot and popping up here. Okay, Mr. Lowe, I see you out there, man. I know you're waiting. All right. Now, on this show, we encourage open dialogue. You know, open, and we like to hear everyone's opinion. So, you know, I just want to set some ground rules before we get started. And one of them are, please respect everyone's time to speak. In other words, do not overtalk each other. If someone is talking, let them finish what they're going to say. Make sure they're through what they're saying, and then go ahead with your conversation. Now, if it gets too much, I will mediate and handle that. Okay? But do not break, you know, just cut in just to be cutting in because you just got something that you need to say because you just can't hold on to it. No, we're not having that anymore, okay? Now, also, please make your comments and responses as short and to the point as possible. You know, if everyone does that little thing right there, man, we can get a whole lot of stuff in, okay? Once again, no personal attacks are allowed. Like I said before, we are adults, so please let us conduct ourselves in that manner. All right, we don't have any kids on here, so we shouldn't be having to yell at you and tell you shut up and hush your mouth and so forth and so on. We're adults. Let's do that. All right. Now, if any of these guidelines are violated, I will not hesitate to tase your behind. In other words, I will mute you. Okay? I will not feel sorry about it. You know, you can take it in stride, or hey, you can do what you want to do. But we're not having it, okay? Oh, shucks now. Oh, shucks. Yeah, before I go any further, I want to say hello to my chat room coordinator, Miss A. Nav. She's back in the house. Hey, well, I'm talking about missed you, lady. Missed you, lady. Glad you made it back. Hope you're feeling better. All right. Also, please do not forget March the 13th. March the 13th is the release of a novel, No Condemnation, on Amazon.com by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress. All right, she was a special guest on the show Saturday, and she's a really outstanding lady. So make sure y'all support her, and March 13th, put this on your calendars now, because her book will be coming out, and I'm sure going to get me one. So I'm just letting y'all know, mark that on your calendar, because I'm, you know, from her conversation, it's going to be an outstanding book. And she's a straight up, you know, as we like to say, quality lady. All right. Ooh, boy, 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 boy. All right. Now, today, y'all, is Open Mic Monday. And always, you know, there's no topics off limits. However, we will discuss them as adults. Once again, no nonsense. All right. No nonsense. All right, we got all that good stuff out the way. All right, once again, thank you for joining us today on Let's Talk. This is Open Mic Monday. And to join the conversation, give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Twitter, driven4FRLife62. Or just stop by my Facebook page, leave a message, picture, whatever you want to do, at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And I'm always on the Facebook page, so I'm just letting y'all know. If you want to stop by and eat some things there, yeah, make it happen, make it happen. All right, now, let's get to talking about some things that's going on around, you know, around the world today. Let's see, the top thing going on today is Pope Benedict the 26th to resign on February 28th due to health concerns. All right, now. You know what? Why is everybody in such a big shock about this? Why? Okay, and here's why I'm asking that. I think it's a good idea. I really do. And here's why I'm saying. You know, usually when you have the Pope, you know, you see them, and they'll get so old, you know, to where they barely can hold, they can't even hold their head up anymore. You know, they just wave their hand. That's all they're doing, just waving their hand. They can't even... You know, I'm Catholic, but I've been a couple of guys. You know, they can't even do the little cross thing, the bless you and all that, because they can't even hold the big heads up anymore. Now, this Pope here, he decided, well, his health is not that great, so I'm going to give up the throne so somebody, hopefully younger, can take over. And I think that is the right thing to do. I think that is setting a great example, you know, for any Pope that's coming in after him to be, you know, responsible, man enough, religiously enough, or whatever you want to call it, to say, okay, I'm getting old and I'm not going to be able to do, you know, what I need to do. So I just want to give it up to the next man to come in, hopefully, which would be younger. That's all my take on that. And I think it's a great idea myself. Now, like I said, I'm not Catholic, so I don't know how y'all feel about that. But I think it's pretty good. I think it's a good thing. Another thing I want to talk about, why doesn't it seem as though a lot of Catholics seem a little upset, but as far as regular Christians, if there's such a thing, non-Catholics, I think that's a better word, really it doesn't seem as surprising or heartbreaking. Is that a good word? You know, that he's retiring? So maybe that shows there's a big divide in Christianity, as they say. It's all not one big bowl of soup, as a lot of people would like for you to think. I'm just saying. And just my opinion, of course. They say, Adnav says, how convenient to be retiring right when Cardinal Mahoney was just stripped of everything, as they knew all the priests were molesting kids. And you know what, Adnav, that's a good point. And maybe that has something to do with it. Of course, you know, they have to give a blanket statement, okay, his health. Hey, maybe that's driving him crazy. LA Times did an article yesterday that Cardinal was using cemetery funds to pay off all the victims that were being molested by priests. And I can believe that. And it's just part of the big system, you know. That's all it is, a part of the system. You know, that's not something that's unusual or new. You know, people have been getting paid off for years to not say anything or keep their mouth shut, help maintain to help maintain the so-called status of the Catholic Church or the priesthood. Or, I mean, it's just crazy. It really is. It's just crazy. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, on the 28th, we'll probably hear more about it by the 28th. But hopefully he said this is setting a great precedent as far as him retiring early, because he just can't do it anymore. All right. Stop lying to me. I see you in the chat room. Thank you for joining us today. All right, y'all. Let's move right on. Once again, this is Open Mic Monday, so 347-838-8622 if you got something you want to talk about. But until that time, we're going to keep on talking ourselves, because I got a lot to talk about. I surely do. Now, oh boy, here's a good one. Here's a good one. Christopher Darner firing from LAPD will be case. His firing will be reviewed as search for ex-cop continues. Now, before we go any further, I'm gonna play this little short clip and let y'all hear what the chief of police had to say. Then we gonna come back and talk about this thing, because I have some very good opinions on what's going on with this one. Hold on, be right back.
The Los Angeles Police Department announced it will reopen its investigation of the 2007 incident that led to the firing of Christopher Darner, the main target of a manhunt after Darner allegedly shot and killed a young couple and a police officer in Southern California. Police Chief Charlie Beck explained the investigation Saturday.
I'm doing this so that the community has faith in what the police department does. I'm going to make a rigorous inspection to either validate or refute his claims.
In an online manifesto, Darner accused the department of racism, bias, and lying. He outlined plans to kill law enforcement officers and their families and explained he wouldn't stop until the LAPD clears his name. The Los Angeles Times says the department is notorious for some of Darner's allegations stated in his manifesto, citing 1992 riots that were sparked by the beating of a black man by white police officers. The president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference of Southern California told the New York Times, while there have been a lot of improvements, there's still room for improvement. There is still one segment of our community that historically distrusts the police force. And some social media users have even endorsed Darner, making fan pages and calling him the Dark Knight, and saying he's the hero LA deserves, but not the one it needs right now. But The Blaze reminds readers Darner is still suspected of killing three people and has said publicly he intends to kill more. A correspondent for CNN says this new investigation will give Darner the chance to defend his claims.
They want to give him a chance to maybe go ahead and come out of hiding, or it would give him the opportunity to have his hearing covered by worldwide media and give it the exposure.
Others involved in the investigation include the Irvine and Riverside Police, the FBI, and the U.S. Marshal's Office. For Newsy, I'm Logan Tittle.
All right, y'all. That's just a little snippet of the actual conference, you know, from what the chief was saying. Now, as I said, I do have some thoughts on that. Now, 5 years ago, you fired this man, right? You fired this man. Now, all of a sudden, you want to reopen the case? Why? If it was done right the first time, why do you want to reopen the case? Number two, is this a ploy? Is this just a ploy to try and draw him out? Because we already know he's already labeled as a cop killer, right? And we all know police everywhere, once you labeled as a cop killer, they're not trying to take you in nowhere. They're not trying to ask you any questions. You see what I'm saying? They're not trying to ask you any of that. This man done told you what he's going to do. And, you know, he even said he doesn't expect to be around when y'all finally clear his name. However, if everything was done right the first time, why are we going back and reopening a case? It all sounds a little fishy to me. You know, that really sounds a little fishy to me. It really does. Now, here's my other thing. If you really truly want to do this investigation right, anybody involved with any police apartment in Los Angeles, California, wherever, you don't need to be nowhere near the investigation. Bring in some outside unit, an independent place to do the investigation. I mean, if you're going to do it right, let's do it right. Apparently something is going on, and we know LAPD, you know, they do have a very bad reputation, as do a lot of a lot of police departments. But if you're going to do it right, let's do it right. Get anybody that may be involved. I mean, come on, LAPD, so you're going to be doing it with the FBI, whatever. Who's saying some of those people actually doing the investigation have not gotten promoted and moved up the ranks? So now they still involved in the investigation, which means they still can cover some things up. Once again, I say this is just my opinion on what's going on, but that's the way I'm feeling about it. Stop lying to me. Say it shows that who don't have to come from the hood to do violence. It shows that police have mental problems too. I don't know if it's that mental or just downright just mean. That you know, and everybody want to blame stuff for mental problems. All these people do not have mental problems. I don't give a damn what you say. It's not all mental. It's just downright stupidity and racist and bigotry. That's what it is. Just call it what it is. Quit trying to put everything under a mental umbrella, because that is not what it is. It's not. And I don't care. You're not going to make me believe that. That's all I'm saying about this. Okay? Now, let me ask you, read the damn letter, fool. Now you're calling me a fool. Oh, I read the letter. Thank you. And you need to go and check that word there, because anyway. Oh, Lord, hammers. Here we go. They see, trying the patience already today. But it's okay. The Lord is on my side. All right, here we go. Now, here's my other thought, though. And you know, because once this thing started jumping off, the more I thought about it, you know, the movie Samuel Jackson was in, The Negotiator. The so-called one was just rambling. Okay. And you know, it has a lot to do with this stuff. This is real life. So I don't think there's going to be a happy, happy ending to this. You know. I'm just saying. Okay. So anyway, here we go. So with this being the case, 5 years ago, he's done everything he can. Now his name is just, you know, just garbage as far as he's concerned. Do any of you believe there's any other way that he could have gone besides where he is right now? Do you really think he had another option besides what he is doing now? You know, I'm just asking questions because I think it's really, I mean, look, I'm not condoning him killing people. I'm really not. However, he now said he had many options. What was the options, A now? Apparently, he tried to do everything the right way through what the police department said he should do. So what were some of the other ways? If he had a case, get a fucking lawyer. Oh, Lord. Okay. His girlfriend's wife even said he was unstable. Well, okay. I mean, that's not nothing that the guy, I mean, come on now. The guy already, he done told you he feels like he has nothing left. Nothing. They ruined him in his name, ruined his career, not one career, but two careers. So what? I mean, what else did he have? They said, get a lawyer, don't kill. Okay, right. And see, and here's another thing. We all have our saying, but when you're in that situation yourself, can you really say you thinking about getting a freaking lawyer? You know, can you really say that? I don't know. I know if it was me, and if I wouldn't be thinking about no lawyer. You know, and he's basically said he's going after everybody he's felt was responsible. Hey, if that, I mean, it's the families and what have you. So, See, Chef said, get support for a cause and don't really stop locally. I can't really say I wouldn't be trying to kill anybody. You know, say he was fired after 5 years and all of a sudden snapped. What made him snap suddenly? Hey, just the thought of it. Just the thought of it. You know, and no telling. And see, it's still a lot of it that we're not being told, I'm sure. You know, what about his appeals process? And what else did he have to go on? I mean, what else did he have to go through before he got to this point? You know, he couldn't have been doing too bad. He had a nice house in Vegas and a nice truck. I don't buy it. Just to say it was planned, premeditated most likely. Get over it, people. Go through much worse in life. He had 5 years of good planning. You're damn right. He planned it. Because he gave him 5 years to figure out, you know, to try and clear whatever, you know, he felt was wrong, and he never did. However, you know what, though? Here's another thing. If that is the case, and as I said before, if everything was on the up and up, why are you reopening the case now, then? Don't give me that bull crap about you want the public to feel, you know, safe and that they're doing the right thing. You can't, because you say we did everything right and been through with it. But now you want to open the case back up. I'm not buying it. He said that he was racially discriminated since he was a little boy. And he probably got tired of it. You know, if you go into to your superiors and what have you, and you actually telling them, you know, this is happening, and instead of them doing what's correct, they are just basically brushing it under the rug, and you the one being labeled as a snitch and a, you know, whatever they want to call them. Now, that could drive somebody crazy. Now, that's what I'm saying. Adnan said, but he was telling his mama she should act like a white woman. Well, apparently, that maybe they drove him to think that. I don't know. Besides the lawyer, what other options did he have? He hadn't reached that point. You know, he hadn't reached a point. He felt that he had lost everything, most importantly, his reputation and his name. Get a psychiatrist to talk to. Chance the psychiatrist will drive you crazier than somebody you really do know. A psychiatrist, yeah, right. And here's another thing I want to talk about also. And it goes a little bit into this shooting thing. Okay, so now we had another shooting this morning, right? We had another shooting this morning. Now you got Mr. Darner, he's out there. And I'm going to put this out there. They're not going to find a man unless he want to be found. It's just that simple. So they might as well get ready. I can't help it. Being a military guy, I'm loving this. Because I don't think they're going to find him unless he want to be found. But anyway, as I was saying, another shooting this morning, right? Now, you got Mr. Darn, and you know he has some weapons. There's no doubt about that. He's had 5 years to collect. So he probably has some stuff out there for you. So here's a question I'm going to place out there. Will this place more emphasis on gun control? Well, we know he was a former police officer. He was in the military. So, you know, he knows how to use them. So would this incident put more emphasis on gun control? What do you think about that? What do you think about that? I mean, it's just so many options here to think about when it comes to this whole thing. Shasta said, I agree with you. Oh, Anel, so I agree with you about the psychiatrist. Shasta, get laid or something. I don't think getting laid is going to help him with that. Someone that'll listen. Hell, people are going to have guns. Well, yeah, that's true. People are going to have guns. We know this. But dang, are we getting to the point to where, you know, I was listening to another show earlier today. And speaking of guns, that's the first thing somebody said. Well, let's start the militia again. And I'm like, well, really? Really, we're going to start the militia again. So we already got an issue with guns, so why not get a bunch of other crazies walking around here with guns? Why not? You know, in that case, let's just go back to the Wild Wild West. Huh? Let's get on back on, and you know, where you just wear on your hip. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's all I'm saying, y'all. Mm-mm-mm. The mind kills. Chester says, control your thought process. My thought, whoops, thought process. I got a good thought process, man. Hey, Lady Blackstorm, I see you out there. Thank you for joining us today. But y'all come talk to me about this thing. Okay, I want to hear, you know, y'all see the chat room is rolling right about now. But I want to hear somebody talk to me. Well, I can hear and talk you back to you. 347-838-8622. This is Open Mic Monday. And, of course, with Open Mic Monday, anything goes. All right? All right, I see. We got one take on the line here. All right, Mr. Lowe, good afternoon. How you doing, brother?
I'm well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding. Now, Lowe, me and you both are military men. So we
right.
know the type of training that this cat has. And we know what... we've been through some instances where we both know people don't do what they say they're going to do even after you tell them, you know, what's what. So what you
right.
think about this guy in
okay.
this situation?
Okay. First and foremost, for whomever came up with the, oh, get a effing lawyer, and I'm sure that guy did have, because, of course, you know, they have the policeman's union and all of this stuff. So I'm sure he used every avenue he had at his disposal. And just as you said, if there was nothing wrong with this situation, they wouldn't be going, quote unquote, going back and reexamining something. And that guy already knows that. And I'll be more specific, the black community and the Hispanic. And I won't even say Hispanic, I'm sorry. The Spanish people don't trust the police. Let's be for real about this stuff. I mean, hey, yeah, I can't really speak on being hit by a policeman because that would be a cardinal sin to me. But as far as all the instances that you have seen and have heard of with these people using all of the authority that they do and don't have to get what they want, to use people, to beat people, to kill people. And who would trust them? Who's supposed to trust them? Trust is earned, not given. Don't give me your trust. Let me earn your trust. I have to be in a situation where I know I can trust you.
Well, you know what? We got something in the chat room. And stop lying to me. You about to get rolled up on real bad. Military people are crazy. They are trained to kill. You heard that, right?
Wow. we all have an instinct for self-preservation, and being that as it may, self-preservation may mean killing, regardless to militarily trained or not.
You're right. Let's see. So what? Why go on and killing people because you got fired? He should never have been a police. See, you're just talking out the side of your neck now. Stop lying to me. Number one, everybody, you know, as Lowe just said, everyone has a breaking point. You know, even so-called ones that sit up there and think they all righteous and almighty, they have a breaking point too. Now, once you hit that breaking point, you have no idea what you will do. You may think you do, but it's just not, you have no idea. So, you know, all this ranting on about he shouldn't have been a police and all that. Oh, now he is using that training to kill. Well...
You made the animal. Deal with it.
Hey, that's what, you know what? And see, I can tell y'all not really paying attention because all those little wars that we end up in, who you think trained them? The United States trained them. And then
Absolutely.
What they used to kill, then we have to go in and reverse what we done. This is nothing new. It's just on a smaller scale. Hell.
And
you know, I'm sure this wasn't just something that just popped up. I'm sure there were some signs that he probably told them a long time ago, and they probably just threw it in all, yeah, just like everybody else, yeah, whatever, and rolled out. You know what I mean? And
absolutely.
He just hit that point.
Absolutely. You know, the best way to handle a situation is to let it die all the way down and then attack it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to handle a situation. If you want me to think that I can just come in, guns a-blazing, and you're already strapped up and loaded up and everything, No. No, I want you to be comfortable. I mean, I'm sure this is something that those policemen are used to in the first place. I mean, you know, they have a saying that you don't go against the blue wall, you know. So it has to be something in that. That even means going into court, lying under oath and everything else, man. I mean, let's just be real about this situation. I don't know all the ins and outs, and whomever that is in the chat room, they don't either. So, you know, their opinion is just as valid as mine. So it's just like they say, you know, everyone has a rectum, just as such same as an opinion. So it is what it is.
You're right, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Until we
have all the facts, then we can actually come up with something that will give some insight, because some of the facts may still be distorted.
Mm. Right.
Now, I'll agree with you, though. They are not going to bring that man in alive. I don't give a damn what happened.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that's a given. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And I will go even farther to say this. That vehicle that had those two ladies in it, that vehicle that was shot up, I think the Most High that was not my mother and aunt or grandma or whoever. I think the Most High, because whoever did that, oh, there'd be some repercussion behind that.
Oh, well, let's say, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because they gave them a new truck. Isn't that something? They get a new truck out of it.
A new truck.
After you shot mine up for no reason, right? Oh, hey, I'm with you, Lo. Hell no.
Absolutely. A new truck. Shit. That's a truck. Okay. That's crazy. And then they had the description of, see, the thing is, those cops are so used to doing this type of thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was thrown under a blanket before as far as, you know, this vehicle fits a blanket description, is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
I was thrown under a blanket description before. And after the guy, I was stopped by a policeman and asked to see my license. And I said, why did you stop me? Oh, this car fits to the... I said, you're damn lie. No one has a car like this in this town. And I haven't been in this town, so you tell a damn lie. And he ran my plates and everything, and it came back clean. But it was just the point of having the authority to be able to stop me. You know. And what ultimately happens is, you know, we can even go as far as overseas. If you have people in these countries overseas that's only wanting the Americans to come and do what they're going to do anyway and to leave, but they're not doing anything to be on the defensive against the Americans, those people will do you no harm. But when you come into their home waving weapons in their faces, putting your hands on the women, that's when things change, man. You know, and these cops are so used to handling people, snatching people up, slamming you on the ground, all of this and that stuff, men and women. I said a thousand times, I said again, if Trayvon Martin had been a white kid, this thing would have been blown up a thousand times sooner. You have never heard of the police outright gunning down or beating the crap out of a Caucasian. Other races, yes, but not a Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did hear of it, it was amplified a thousand times faster. We must understand that we are people too. We count also. We matter. And, you know, as far as we're concerned, as long as it doesn't have anything to do with us specifically, we could care less about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something. It's true. I will give it to the white community, because they will stand together on something that they feel is wrong, something that is right now with this gun control thing. You have more of those people coming out from everywhere saying, oh, hell no, you're not taking my right to bear arms.
Hmm.
you know. This is something that directly affects them. They don't have to worry about being stopped and frisked. So they don't care about that. Things change, man. When the shoe was on the other foot, things changed. That guy is running for his life right now and hiding out everywhere. He used to be in the pig pen with the pigs, and he loved them, and they loved him. And now they despise him, and they want to kill him on sight.
Oh, Lord. And you know what? And that's the thing. In his little manifesto that he left, he did say, you know, I know everything y'all about to do. You know? So that's why I said, they're not going to find him unless he want to be found. Now, it's just that simple. And, you know, with his little military training also, he ready. But, you know, that's, oh, man, I tell you. It's, you know, there's more to it, I'm sure. And as the days go by, I'm sure more and more come out. And we really going to be like, okay.
We're only going to get what the censored news is going to allow us to have anyway. So, you know, we'll only get whatever they give us. You know, we'll take that bone and run with it because that's what we've had to deal with so far. I mean, only thing they talk about is who he's killed and you know, he was fired, but they haven't said why he was fired. They haven't said anything in reference to his appeal or anything. All of that took place. You know it did. But they haven't mentioned any of this stuff. And now all of a sudden this man coming and talking out the side of his neck with, oh, we're going to reopen the case and see if everything was done correct. Man, get out of here with that.
Hey, you know what? And that what made me really, really, that raised red flags for me anyway. Because I'm like, wait a minute.
Me too.
You did it right the first time. Why are you reopening anything? You know,
right.
And then to put a $1 million bounty on this man's head? You know, they didn't have a bounty like that on McVay or any of them. But you, this one of your own now. It wasn't your own. And you want to put a $1 million bounty on his head? Really?
Well, it kind of leads you in. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm like I'm with you. Kind of, you know, just lead you to believe more is going on than what they want you to know.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's kind of like in the situation with this, I can't remember what his position was. Man named Ron Brown. The airplane he was in went down and. They said he didn't die from the plane crash. He died from the bullets that was in his head. Imagine that. And he was in politics.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? Stop lying to me. I'm not going to be too many of you fools now. I'm just going to put that out there for you, okay? Yeah, I think you need to find another word. I'm just putting it out there. That's all.
You get people that sit behind those typewriters and don't really know what they're talking about. You know, as you know, they stay in your community, in your gated community, and stay in your little protection zone and be happy. You know, and get on your computer and say everything you need to say. Call in, matter of fact, call in to the show.
Shasta says, "Where's the people he supposedly tried to talk to? They all in the LAPD." And he said, actually, some done got promoted to the, you know, departments and all that. So, yes, Chester, we can all have an opinion. That's right. But that was part of what was in his manifesto. You know, I think I had it somewhere. If I can find it again, I'll give you the link to where y'all can read it. Because I did read it, and it was very interesting. You know, very, very interesting. You know, that's all I got to say. What's up, Benny? I see you out there. Now,
of course,
you know.
Of course, you know he had to cover all his bases as far as he knew. It took him 5 years to go ahead and work his master plan, so he already knew. I mean, it's all going to work in chronological order, so you know he already knew what was coming. So it was just up to him to go ahead and put his information out there before they got to him, because if that information did in fact get out there after they got to him, then they would be very distorted. I'm sure it would be.
Yeah. Let's see. Shasta says, do you think these former officers are going to do specials in 60 minutes? If they make it through it, yeah, they're going to do it. You know. Yeah, once it's all over with, hell yeah.
See, the information that he has could lead into the captain, internal affairs. You can go a thousand places with this. Lieutenants, people on the ground that was beating people up. You know, the everyday patrolman. I mean, you have a million different ways you can go with this thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know, and it's,
I mean,
yeah, it's a powder keg. It's a smoking powder keg.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. A now says the thing I didn't understand about this manifesto was why was he naming movie stars and politicians, and he was telling Ellen DeGeneres keep up the good work. To me, it was just a rambling mess. Well, I think what he was basically telling Ellen is, you know, Ellen don't care. You know, I love Ellen DeGeneres myself. You know, and she's just real people. You know, she, you know, she's who she is. She's not shame about it. And she helps everyone. Now, as far as the other movie stars and politicians, there may be somebody that he really, you know, looked up to and thought was doing a good job. What name calling okay. caused him to get mad and kill? So what they called him? And blah 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 blah. Okay. Now see, you know what? What you mean? So what they called him that? See, apparently you don't understand what the never mind. Anyway, I'm not getting into that. I see somebody
I tell
about
you what
get junked out here in a minute.
I can give you. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I can give you an example right here, right down the street in the city in New Orleans, man. You had a guy that was getting paid to monitor those cameras that they have everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so happened that, he had sent tickets out, and he had been sending out tickets to people just at random, you know, pulling up a license plate and sending a ticket out, you know, just to cover it to continue to get paid doing this. Now, come to find out, you had a person that's actually a bean counter, went back and retraced their own steps and said, wait a minute. I wasn't even in town, and no one moved my car. And so they had to go back, check the footage of the film, and come to find out where they said that guy was at. He wasn't even at. Come to find out, that guy, that officer, had been doing this stuff for years, writing tickets on people, and people would just go ahead and pay them because, you know, he was just fixing tickets as far as, you know, making up a crime instead of sitting there monitoring his cameras, you know. And so with that being said, all of a sudden now you have a plethora of tickets and fines and everything that had to be overturned just because of this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because of one person.
I think it was a woman up in Colorado, a police officer in Colorado like that also. You know, she was stopping giving everybody DUI, DWIs and stuff. And come to find out, she was just arresting them just because, even after they was passing the sobriety test and things. So, yeah.
Wow.
So, that makes everybody look bad. But,
absolutely.
Why they chatting on this in the chat room, let's move on to something else real fast. We'll come back to that, I'm sure. John Walsh, I guess he's a he's a Tea Party guy who got thrown out of office, or, you know, lost his election. What is he doing here? He is blasting the First Lady for traveling to her hometown of Chicago to attend the 15-year-old girl's funeral. Yeah, and basically saying, he tweeted, I guess the other 553 murder victims didn't break her heart. Most of the 553 Chicago murder victims in 2012 and 2013 were young black males. Is she attending this funeral to make a political point? What do you think about that?
Okay. Really, there's
Before we go there, I'm going to read one more thing to you, all right? And this is by a black youth organization in Chicago. Okay, and basically what it said, Mr. President, come to Chicago and address the crisis of gun violence in the black and Latino communities. Mr. President, after the tragic shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School, you made a solemn visit to the grief-stricken community of Newtown, Connecticut, and spoke passionately about their horrific experience with gun violence. Our nation mourned the young lives lost on that terrible day. Black and Latino communities in Chicago know far too well the pain and sorrow felt by those left behind in the wake of shootings. In the past year, over 500 young lives have been lost to violence in the Windy City. Chicago is facing a serious crisis that threatens the lives of my entire generation, and it is a crisis that demands the attention of our president. You have not entirely ignored the rising tide of violence engulfing your hometown, but a mention here and a shout there, buried inside a larger conversation about an assault weapons ban and more stringent background checks, does not address the unique experience of Black and Latino youth in Chicago. The Black Youth Project has launched a petition asking you to come to Chicago and deliver a major speech on gun violence in the Black and Latino communities. This speech must include specifics on the policies and programs that your administration will initiate to save the lives and improve the futures of Black and Latino youth. Now, oh, Lord, what do you think about that, my brother?
That's a mouthful for some Black youth group to come up with, so I'm sure it had oversight. But, okay, first, you know, when you start talking stricter gun laws, all the laws are fine. There's no problem with the laws, and people want to say, oh, well, they had mental problems. No. Let's go all the way back and find out exactly why we keep having these problems. Putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound isn't going to fix it. You know, I mean, okay, you have these problems. Why do you have these problems? You know, let's take it all the way back and look at, first and foremost, economics. Education. I mean, you talk about bringing jobs, and you go on the streets and ask the people on the streets, hey, so, you know, why are you not working? The first thing they'll say is, hell, there's no jobs. You know, but you have a jobs bill in place that say, oh, we created jobs. Where are the jobs? Where are the industries? You know, I look at this on a whole different level. Of course that man had to go to Sandy Hook. Of course he did. That's suburban USA, you know, getting shot up. They don't expect that in suburban USA. They wouldn't expect anything like that in my neighborhood. But I know plenty of other neighborhoods where they would expect it. And they would just chalk it up as, hey, just that's another day, you know. You know, these things happen all the time in specific areas. Why is it that it's always the specific area predominantly where blacks live and where Latinos live? What is it in that neighborhood that is going or is not going in the right direction? You got to figure out all these things, man. I mean, I'm, you know.
I'm with you. Hold on. We got another caller. You know what? I'm going to tell you before I let this other caller in. You know what I like about that letter that was written? Somebody finally requested something from the president. you know, the election, nobody said they wanted him to do anything. So somebody put it down on paper and say, this is what we want you to do. So right. Let me bring this other caller in here, see what they got to say.
Ooh. All right, good afternoon. It's me. What's the topic?
What's up, Joe? What's happening, bro?
Hey, guys. Who's on the line?
That's Low.
Oh, that's it? There's Lo and me and you?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have a nice, peaceful, quiet day today. Okay.
Imagine that. Unless Lady calls in.
You know what I say. I would say it, but Eric likes her.
Oh, whatever. I like all my callers. I really do. Even
man,
the ones that work my nerves.
Shine the boots up looks good, man. Shine the boots up good.
But anyway, well, we was talking about, man, okay, Joe, I guess we're going to let you catch up because I know you got something to say. We was talking about the officer in California.
Oh, I like him. You're talking about Chris Dorner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I like him, except for one thing. He wants to take revenge on corrupt cops, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do it in a very, very radical way, which a lot of people would not approve of. I don't really give a damn if he kills a lot of cops because I don't particularly care for cops. I think most of them corrupt. I know a lot of cops. I've partied with cops. I know to a degree how they think. They're very good to party with. But that blue line of theirs is a killer. So this guy, he felt maligned. He was depressed for years. They tried to, they didn't try to put him in jail, I don't think, but they levied false charges against him, all because he was trying to do his job well. So he snapped. He's out after cops. He's not out after civilians, except for the cops' families, which, of course, a lot of people are going to say he's psycho. He probably is. The thing that I like about him is that he's trying to do something, you know? It's extremely radical. It's going to end up in murder and homicide. He's going to get killed. What I don't like about it is that he wants gun control. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. How do you want people not to have guns when you're running around in the streets and there are other people like you running around in the streets and you could kill people by accident? You know? Or if you get into a gun battle with cops, they are definitely going to kill civilians by accident and they're not going to give a shit. So I think we need our weapons to protect ourselves from, you know, from what people would consider him to be a maniac. He probably is a maniac. Mm. He's gone over the line. But I like the guy because he's targeting cops. Mm-hmm. He didn't snap and say, "Well, I'm going to go up to the tower at the University of Virginia and shoot everybody." He just wants to kill corrupt cops.
Mm. So basically, you're saying the system created that monster right there.
Oh yeah, yeah. The system, of course, he snapped. But look. The guy tried for years to get justice done. He couldn't get it done in the court system. He couldn't get it done within the law enforcement system. So now he's taking the law into his own hands. Again, people say he snapped, he's a rogue. He is, but he's going after corrupt cops. He's not going after every cop that he met, every cop that ate a donut. He's going after people he knows are corrupt. So I like the guy for that. I don't want him in my neighborhood because I don't want to die. You know, he could start shooting my brains out. But other than that, I like it. I read most of the manifesto, so it was very interesting.
Oh, excuse me. All right. I mean, we have some, man. I mean, we got some things going on. Yeah, now that's what we said. You know, he killed a family member of a cop. You know, when it comes to,
that's what he threatened to do. You know, he said he's going to get them, their families. Now, the families ostensibly have nothing to do with it. But I have to think about this, and I'm saying to myself, what kind of people are marrying corrupt cops? Now, do they deserve to die because the cop himself is corrupt? No. But it's not as though he's killing Mother Teresa's or the sons of Mother Teresa. He's killing people who deliberately and out of choice married people that they probably knew were not exactly the most moral people on the planet. Because when you take a look at the neighborhoods cops live in, they live in pretty good neighborhoods, and they only make about $30,000, $35,000, $40,000 a year. They're getting paid a lot of money under the table.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these women, it's like saying a mob wife doesn't know what her husband's doing.
Right.
It's a quick question. Cool. I didn't mean to cut you off. And I know where you're going with this, Joe. It makes a lot of sense, man. But as far as, like, let's say that you're a policeman, Joe, and you know, you're out and you're doing your job and everything. Now, if you know in the back of your mind and heart of your hearts that people have said, hey, you know what, if you fuck over me out on the streets, I'll go to your house and I'll kill everybody in your fucking house, man. will that make you think twice before you go to screwing over everybody?
I would think so.
I would think so, too. And that's the aspect that I saw that from.
Yeah. I mean, the guy was screwed by cops. Look, they're doing to him what they tried to do to Serpico. Serpico was almost killed. What they did with Serpico, Serpico ratted on a few corrupt cops. As a matter of fact, just about everybody, as far as I'm concerned, in the who's a cop is corrupt, even if they're not corrupt. Now, why do I say that? Because I've talked to a cop, and this cop's got a show on BTR, and I think he still has a show. It's about corrupt cops. And I asked him, in his subjective opinion, what's the amount of corruption he thinks is in, you know, throughout the United States? He figured 20% to 30% are downright corrupt. They take money under the table, they steal from drug dealers, they'll lie in court, they'll plant evidence. So that's about 20% to 30%. Now the other cops know that these, you know, the ones who aren't doing anything bad, you know, supposedly, they know that these fucking cops are doing it, but they don't do anything against the cops. When you see a crime and you don't do anything and you're a cop, as far as I'm concerned, you're corrupt too.
Absolutely.
So I have no sympathy for these people. You know, so go ahead, you know, and shit. As far as I'm concerned, he can kill all the LA cops, you know, that are out there.
Wow. Now that's a bold statement there, Joe.
I don't. Look, I've done research into a number of things in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken a look at the Rampart Report. I've taken a look at the history of some of the cops, you know, in the United States. I know cops. They will fucking turn on you in a second. They are not out there to protect you. As a matter of fact, there's a video up now of a cop, not a cop. There was a guy who was a victim a couple of years ago. He was riding a train, I think it was in New York City. A guy comes after him, a stranger, something like a 6-inch kitchen knife right there on the train. Now, the significance of this particular story is that this guy was in the lead car, the first car of the train.
Mm-hmm.
He was sitting like 6 inches away from the conductor's, the conductor's room, I guess. Inside that conductor's room, the conductor's the guy that drives the train, and inside that room were two cops. Two cops were watching this battle going on because they were looking out the window of the door. They did not get out of the door. They didn't get out of the compartment, rather, draw their guns to help this guy. What's coming out of this particular incident is the fact that it's very possible that cops are not under any legal obligation to protect the public. If they're not under any legal obligation to protect the public, then why the fuck are we paying these scumbags taxes?
I said it's for the show. They're not here to protect us or serve us. They're here to protect the few, not us.
They're, so what? Who are the few?
They're
you
there
gotta
to
have
do
money to be a part of the few, Eric.
No, that's what it is. Okay.
Well, they're getting paid by the city, and the city is controlled by lobbyists. The city, just like the state, just like the federal government, they're all controlled by special interests.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to protect the property of those who pay them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, they, you know, of course, if you get into, you know, they'll answer police calls and stuff like that. But then, look, do you know, and this is a fact, you can look this up on Google. If you want to take a look at how many cops die in a year, and you compare that with other industries, guess what? Sales clerks are in a more dangerous job than cops. They get killed by homicides and accidents than more often than cops do.
And, you know, that you mentioned the thing about lobbyists. I do recall a certain president that said he was going to get away from lobbyists. He was going to get rid of lobbyists up there on Washington.
Now, let me think who that president might be. Wait a minute. let me see.
Let's be for real now. Let's be for real. How you going to get rid of a group of people that's more powerful than the senators up there them damn selves? Come on now. That's like the NRA. That's like the NRA. They're not going anywhere anyway.
The lobby's not going anywhere either.
Huh?
I understand what you're saying, but the thing is, man, don't come out and blatantly lie about things that you know you can't take care of. You know you can't deal with this. You'll never be able to touch this situation. Don't. I mean, that's like the guy that's been living in the community all those years, and he's been paying cops, and he can, you know, he can bootleg liquor and everything else he wants to. They not going to bother him. I don't care what you say about that.
No, they're not.
You know, no,
mm-hmm.
never.
Nope.
So,
you know, go ahead, Lou.
I'm just saying, I don't understand why he would come up there and tell that lie. Oh, yeah, I'm going to take care of the lobbyist stuff. Man, you getting paid by lobbyists. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. How do you think he got $1 billion worth of campaign contributions? You honestly think people... The grassroots sent in their little $10 and $20 through the internet for this guy?
No.
No. Y'all hold up for a moment before we continue on. Once again, y'all listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. It is Open Mic Monday. And don't forget, March the 13th, we got a release of a new book, No Condemnation, on Amazon.com by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress. So make sure y'all mark your calendars to get that book, because I'm getting me one, and I'm sure it's going to be outstanding, okay?
Is that Dr. Congress or Dr. Converse?
Congress.
Congress, yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. So she was the same one that was doing the book tour last week, right?
Right.
All right, yep. Doc, you're no longer doing the book tour. Bring your ass on the line like she said you were.
Hey, Joe, you might want to watch your mouth, but because I went back and I did a little reading on her and also checked out. She's a tight lady, man. And the thing about it is she's not hard on the eyes either.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
There's a million chicks like that. You know, they got their PhDs and they got their masters and they're not bad looking. So bring your ass on the line and let's see what she can do when she's not doing a book tour. Let's see how real she is.
Okay.
Yeah, but she kind of put a foot in your ass, though.
Well, if she does, then she's real. Okay.
No, she put.
Go ahead, Lo.
I'm sorry. No, she put a foot in your ass, man, because you were expecting her to say, "Oh, well, the whole relationship evolves around one thing." When she told you something different, I listened to that. You hesitated.
Well, no, I restrained myself because she was on a book tour, but she didn't say anything differently than anybody else.
Hey, well, most people say, the whole relationship is based on honesty. You know, she didn't say
please, what did she say? She said if she personally met a guy, right, who was making less money than her, well, yeah, she'll consider going out with him. But if he's stingy, that's the problem. So if she's making $100,000 and he's making $40,000, how is he not going to be stingy?
No, it wasn't. No. What she meant was.
Oh, guys, for God's sake. Oh, jeez.
See, Joe. Anyway, you just got stuck on that stingy. See.
No, there was another thing too. She's got a PhD and she's nice looking, and you got your testosterone all worked up, and you're saying,
okay.
She's not different.
All right. I'm gonna see if I can get on this week just for that so she can correct that.
I'll bring her butt on
this statement.
Show. Bring it.
All right, Joe.
She said she was gonna do it herself.
What? Do what herself?
She said she was gonna come back here just so she can challenge me.
Yeah. Well, you know, when she has time, I'm sure she will.
When she has time. Yeah.
You just be ready.
She'll never have time.
Look, I think she kind of intimidated you a little bit. I really do.
I restrained myself, Eric, because it's your show. You warned us, right? So
yeah.
I restrained myself.
Okay. Well, she told you to come on. But it's okay. She'll be back. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Let her wear a sweatshirt and jeans and see how she operates.
So with all that going on, Joe, with all this going on with the cop, the shooting this morning, you think that's going to put more issues, more spotlight more on
gun
control?
Oh, I didn't even
now?
Hear about the shooting this morning. What happened?
Oh, man. There's a shooting in, I think it was Delaware, somewhere like that. I have to look it up again. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was at the gym this morning, and it ran across television. I remember that. I think two people killed?
Something like that, yeah. I know somebody in the chat room seen it. I'm sure they'll tell me in a minute. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, with that and this guy on the run in California and, you know, Chicago, you think that's going to even be put a more emphasis on gun control now?
Oh, hell yeah. Jesus Christ. They're really going to clamp down on us now. Are you kidding me? All of this is going to be used to take away our guns. We cannot let them do that. If you take a look at the history of dictatorships and tyrants, what they have done, you know, how Hitler, Stalin, and Mao succeeded in killing 20 million people, 40 million people, and 60 million people? They took away the guns of the populace. And they were all popular leaders, you know. They were all people that the people worshipped, that they thought, oh, good, we've got a good leader in there now. And what happens? They all want control, but they just don't want control. They want to eradicate the population because the fewer the population, the easier it is to control them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
You know, I was listening to Tracy and friends earlier, you know, and somebody was on there say, well, bring the militia back. I said, yeah, this is what we need, more crazy folk walking around with guns.
Well, I'd rather have the crazy populace with guns than crazy cops.
I mean, the thing you got to look at, too, I mean, let's be real here. America is a place where you see nothing but foolishness and violence. That's it. Every movie has to have a car chase, a gun, a shootout, somebody pulling a gun, somebody getting killed. It's everywhere. So it's kind of hypocritical, if you will, to say, oh, we need more gun control, and we need this, and we need that. But everything that you glamorize and glorify is evil. Everything that's glamorized in this country pretty much is evil. I mean, even the videos, you know, the music videos, they have nothing but guns and big cars and drug selling, all of this craziness in it. So what are the people that looking at this stuff every day? They'll get more sensitized to it, and, hey, you know, one of the two things is going to happen. They're going to say, hey, we need to do something about this. This is actually going on in the world. Or, hey, they'll get desensitized to it and say, hey,
uh-huh,
let me just join in the free-for-all.
Seems like it's more the latter than anything else.
I would agree.
Yeah.
And one, I didn't mean to cut you off, but one thing that burns my ass is someone that never served in the military run out and go and buy that Call of Duty video game. And, man, that burns the piss out of me.
Oh, what's that game about?
War.
It's about war.
Oh, yeah, I mean, is that about the TV series they used to be on?
No.
No?
Oh. I don't think so, no. I don't know. I don't even own the game, so I don't know, that's all I can tell you about it. You own the game?
I don't either.
Yeah.
No, they glorify it all over the television. I mean, you can, every video game now, okay, they'll put an age bracket on it. But the thing is, I remember when I was 12, 13 years old, you know, they didn't have all this cussing and everything else on the television like they do now, man. People, they've gotten people to the point where, you know, there's nothing sacred anymore, especially a human life.
Well, go ahead, Joe.
Human life has never been. I mean, you can take a look at the westerns from the 50s. People are always shooting other people. The funny thing is how they can glorify the blowing off of somebody's head. But if you say, like, the word fuck, oh, my God, Jesus Christ, are you the worst person on the planet?
Good point.
You know, you can't curse, but you can blow somebody's head off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you know what, then? It's got to be real gory. If it's not real gory, it's not realistic. That's what the word is. It has to look realistic. Shasta says, no guns, no action movies.
Oh, Shasta's in the chat room.
Yeah.
Hello, you know what, Shasta.
You know what, Shasta? I remember back in the day, and low part of me remember this too, Black Belt Theater, they never had any guns. It needs to
no.
They didn't have they could do some damage. That's what dang on sure.
They did some damage, and if you did see a weapon, it was very rarely.
Mm-hmm.
Who was this, or what was this?
Black Belt Theater. It was all karate. The old karate, though.
Oh. You know, talking about the Chop Suey movies?
Yeah. The old men with the long gray hair.
Oh, I remember Five Fingers of Death. That was my favorite.
Yeah. That's one of the all time good ones.
Oh, that was a great
movie.
Absolutely.
It's just why do we have to live? I know things evolve and change rather, but why do we have to live in a society now that, you know, the things that most people should hold as far as bullshit is concerned, it's just that bullshit. Why do we live in a society that's the only thing that's glorified?
Go
ahead.
That's because of our DNA. I've always said, ever since the beginning of time, ever since man either came out of the primordial ooze or he came out of the swamp or he came out of the cave, what have we been doing? We've been doing nothing but conquering and killing. That is the history of the entire world. It's not just the United States. Take a look at the history of Japan. They tried to conquer the world. China tried to conquer the world. Germany tried to conquer the world. England did conquer the world. America is trying to conquer the world. Russia, through communism, was trying to conquer the world. Through all cultures throughout the globe, that's what we do. It's part of nature. If you take a look at the history of just animals and insects and mammals and fish, all they do is eat and kill. Eat, kill, and fuck. And they kill in order to get the female. So that's part of the killing process and part of the fucking process. That's our nature. That's this globe's nature. Through man, through insects, through animals. We kill, we conquer. That's our DNA.
Maybe, but I did a little research and a little studying myself, and I've always come up with a particular, especially in the last 400 or 500 years, a particular group of people have backed this stuff pretty much from both sides, predominantly, being that they're shoveling weapons illegally under the radar to one side and they're openly helping another side, you know, to fuel the fire or whatever. So it's been a particular group of people that have a hell of a lot of influence that have done this at least for the last 500 years anyway, you know. I kind of think that people never sit down and they think about the end game. What's going to come out of all of this? Why are we in Afghanistan now? Why did we go there in the first place? Why did we go to Iraq? What's the end game? You know, you don't have Saddam in picture. You don't have Bin Laden.
It's to conquer. That's the end game. It's to conquer, and it's easier to kill off the population. The real end game is to kill off the population. Because the more people that are born, the more resources that are going to be used and which can't be replenished from the planet, like iron ore, bauxite, aluminum. You can't replenish those. Once you use them and you can try to recycle them, but there are people who don't recycle them. So right now they've built, I don't know if you know, but they've built these, they call them recycling stations. But what happens is they take garbage, they throw them into the hopper, and they've created a mechanism where it just evaporates the garbage. So now you create hydrogen and you create some other byproducts, but you're destroying whatever is in that hopper. So in effect, we're destroying the earth. And the more people that are born, the more people are using up resources. So the rich people of the planet, they're saying, this is my planet, and I'm not letting these savages overrun my planet. So they're killing off everybody. In New York City, they have, you know, all probably, I don't know, maybe a few hundred thousand, if not a million cameras all over the place. And then now they just instituted a policy where they say it's preventive scanning. You can walk down the street, and inside these cameras, they now have these scanners, which are like the ones at the airport, and they're bombarding you with X-rays.
Right.
To take a look at what's, you know, if you're a terrorist. Well, that's killing you. That's a slow kill. Instead of taking them, rounding people up and bringing them to the ovens like they did in Germany, they're bringing the ovens to the street.
Wow. Okay,
they're killing people. That's slow kill.
Slow kill. Okay, let's talk about them drones. You know, those seems to be a hot topic lately.
Good topic.
Yeah. Well, that's Skynet.
Let's talk about drones.
That's Skynet. That's like the Terminator. That's Skynet.
Oh, that's what that is?
Yeah.
I'll agree. I can't argue with that one.
It's not fully Skynet yet, but it's getting there.
Okay. Now, here's my thing. Okay, I'm going to put this out there just for discussion. Now, people, you know, they complain about we want to be protected. We want to be protected. So now the military come up with a way to use drones to so-called protect and, you know, take out terrorists without putting your sons and daughters in any harm. So now there's a problem with drones. Is that kind of being hypocritical?
What would be new with that? I want to go first with this one, Joe. Okay.
Yep.
First and foremost, when a politician comes out and says, "Oh, it's here to protect our freedoms. We're doing this for nobody." I'm gonna stand on a soapbox by myself. People in other countries don't give a fuck about Americans. Leave their countries. Leave those people alone. Do business with them. Don't try to fuck over them. And just let each other live. That's all those people are asking for. But when you go and you push your way on them, then, hey, you're going to get pushed back. You know, but as far as the drones are concerned specifically, now, let's say that they think that I'm a terrorist and I'm in Afghanistan, just for sake of a conversation. Now, they say, okay, well, Lo is in this house right here. So they go and drop a fucking bomb out of a drone, and that bomb kills 50 people, 100 people, maim and injure hundreds, kill children and everything else. They've been doing this all over the world. And now they're slowly bringing these drones into the States. And so what do you think will happen eventually? That's my question.
He's right, Eric.
What? He's right, Eric, what? I mean, okay.
He's 100%.
I mean, so okay. Let's say that happens. Okay, so you know, they kill 50 people compared to back then when they dropping bombs, killing hundreds and thousands. So would that be an acceptable rate for being more technologically advanced now? You know, I mean, it's either you do or you don't. You know,
right.
You want to be protected or you don't want to be protected. So, you know, yes, it's drones. I'm sorry, you know. And while the drones was overseas knocking out terrorists and stuff, nobody really complaining about it. See
right.
what I'm saying? Now they're talking about bringing them overseas. Now everybody has a problem with it. Why?
Right. Because Americans don't give a shit about other countries. Hey, I don't give a shit if you kill 10,000 people or a million people in Iraq. Just don't come here and kill any of these people. Don't kill Americans. Because we're here to protect them. They're doing that to protect our freedoms. They hate us because of our freedoms. That's the stupid ass answer you'll get. Really, that's the stupid ass answer you'll get.
I know.
No, people don't,
they're
don't
so
give a
jealous
damn about Americans.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. They're so jealous of us that they're going to give up their particular lifestyle to come over here because of their jealousy. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That, I mean, yeah. That is funny. But you know what, though? I think we're doing a good enough job of killing ourselves. I mean, let's be real about that. Why we got to worry about the government doing it? We're doing pretty good on our own, especially in the black community. I mean, we don't need no help with that.
No, you're right. I mean, I will say that, you know, black people are notorious for killing each other, especially mm-hmm. over a little bit of nothing.
Yeah. Hold on, y'all. You know, we got another caller want to come in. So let's see who we got on the line.
Maybe it's Shasta.
No, it's not.
No.
Good afternoon. Can we get name, please? Welcome to Let's Talk.
Hey. Hi. I would just like to explain that I am part of the KKK. And, I think that we should move to another planet because not all black people are ignoramuses and like flat.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for your comments.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
Foolishness. Wow.
Yeah, that just explained a lot, something I was just looking at. Okay. Anyway.
Wow.
See, that's when we need a drone.
Yeah. I was thinking if he tried to find Chris Dorner and say that to him and maybe have a nice conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the drones, man. I mean, as long as things are being done overseas, Americans don't really give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really give a damn. They don't. I mean, why is it that? And I had to sit on a C-130 with some coffins coming back with flags over. My question is, why would the president, and that was President Bush, why would he not allow the media to cover this? Why would they not allow to take pictures of those coffins coming back?
Because people would say, wait a minute, uh-oh, no, stop the war.
Absolutely. Then you have to put a name, you have to put a face to that name or a coffin to that name, because it's one thing if you sit up and you see 50 names that of people that died, the past 3 or 4 months in the paper, that's one thing. But when you actually see a face put beside that name, that's something totally different. It plays totally different on your psyche. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my thing about it, hey, I was reading something today where they have all these helicopters and running all these drills. Why are they running these damn drills? Why is the regular police getting
it's against
armored
us.
Tanks?
It's against
absolutely.
Us.
You know, and as long as, you know, you have foolishness, like, a lot of these reality shows and whatnot going on, people are not going to even, they're not even going to be concerned about it, just like Joe was saying a few minutes ago. As long as the populace that loves these people in control are saying, oh, yeah, he's great, we love him. Those people can do any and everything under their noses or even right out in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, people are stupid. It's a thing, it's weird. You take a look at the surveys, and in general, the disapproval rating, or let's say the approval rating of Congress is around 6 or 7%. I mean, that is super, super low.
Mm-hmm.
And it is lower than people hating cockroaches and lice.
No, Lord. Yeah, I remember that. Well,
they hate Congress. But these morons, they keep electing their same senator and congressman. They don't like Congress in general, but their particular guy, they like him. So that's why all these stupid bastards get reelected. Because everybody in all these stupid 50 states, they keep reelecting their particular guys all over again.
Wow. Hold on. Let me bring somebody else in. All right?
Shasta.
Hey, what's
Hello.
Up, yo?
All right. What's going
what's
on,
that?
Mac? What's on your mind?
So you guys are talking about people, and there's a third party out there. How do you guys feel about third parties?
Third party running for president?
Just in general, because I voted in 2012 for a guy named Jimmy Russell's.
Well, as long as you didn't vote for Obama or Romney, what did this guy have to offer?
Well, Jimmy Russell's would he's in favor of an anti-tank system, you know, and he's running with a guy named Dolan Gooby. They want to put in place anti-abortion measures, and they want to legalize rape.
They want to legalize what?
Never mind. I see what's going on now.
Yeah.
I see exactly what's going on. Go ahead. Y'all keep continue on.
I'll humor his ignorance. Me personally, hey, I would vote for a third party if they had the person on the ballot. I mean, you only get a Republican and a Democrat, then, hey, that's it.
You could have voted for Ron Paul. Why couldn't you have written him in?
Ron Paul is still a part of the establishment. I love Ron Paul because of a lot of his views. Don't get me wrong. I've read numerous excerpts from a lot of his speeches. But like I say, he's still a part of the establishment.
How is he supposed to operate if he can't get into the system? If he didn't run as a Republican, he never would have been elected. When he ran as an independent and as a libertarian, he didn't get elected. But when he got into the system, he was anti-establishment. That's why they called him Dr. No, because he always kept saying no to every vote and every bill that came down the pike.
Okay, I understand that. I do. And up until his last election, wasn't he still a Republican senator?
That's his title. So in other words, you're going to look at his title and not his works.
You got to look at the whole thing, Joe.
Yeah, you do. No. If you wanted to be a senator, and if you could run as a libertarian and knew you were going to lose, but you could run as a Republican and win, what would you do?
Well, in my situation, I would run still as a libertarian.
You wouldn't, Long.
Yes. You wouldn't. See, now here you go, putting your views on me.
I know.
I said I don't really give a damn about a whole lot of money and prestige and power. Only thing I would want is to get my word out there. And if I could get my word out there standing on my own personal morals and beliefs, that's even better. I'm not going to con my way in. That's me.
So, in other words, if you could work within the system to try to change the system as opposed to staying outside of the system and not doing anything to affect change, because everybody thinks that they're Alex Jones, okay? But Alex Jones is not effective. Everybody's a reporter, or everybody has a soapbox, or everybody has a show, or everybody has a blog, and they're always waiting for other people to do other things. But when we don't do anything, then everybody's a messenger. Mm-hmm. But look what happens when we're all messengers. We keep voting in the same people.
I understand that. I do. But like I said, man, I mean, that would be my way about going and getting things done. I mean, don't get me wrong. I respect Ron Paul for his own personal beliefs and views. But if you look at it, if you look at the entire situation, they still pass whatever the hell they wanted to pass with or without him.
Well, of course, because he's anti-establishment. But if he was president, he could veto these bills.
I agree,
okay.
and we can both be sure that something would have happened to him mysteriously.
Would have happened to who?
That's like saying, let's just give up altogether.
I agree with you.
Something would have happened to him, but on the first day, he would have negated a lot of those executive orders that the other presidents had put in. He could have done something before he got killed.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can say that there has been other presidents that did promise to change things and close certain places, but, you know, they still exist.
Come on, look. Ron Paul, for over 20 years, has been saying the same thing for 20 years.
You understand, Joe.
You got to look at a person's track record to find out if you can trust them. All these other bastards, they got a track record of flip-flopping.
I agree with that.
Hold on.
I agree.
What else we got going on? Hold on. Dylan, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and ask your question to the panel.
So what do you think about these, like, you know, so underage sex these days?
These what?
Underage sex.
Underage sex?
Like MTV, like, they got these, like, 16 and pregnant. How do you feel about that?
Was that a show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On MTV.
Really? 16 and pregnant?
Yeah.
16.
Yeah. 16 and pregnant. That is a show. And
oh, God.
Go ahead,
is
Joe.
It?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to start my own show. 13 and pregnant, too. Yeah.
Oh, that gives me something to tell you guys. So I'm in school. Like, I'm 14. And some girl in my school has already had sex with, like, 5 guys. And she slept with the guy when she was, like, 13.
Okay.
So are you saying that it's wrong, or are you saying you're jealous that you weren't part of the 5 guys?
I'm saying it was wrong.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, Dylan, I'm gonna tell you like this, young man. The things that you do in life right now, they'll have a major impact on your future. If other people, it's nice to be one of the guys in the group to say, hey, I did that, but sometimes you might not want to be a part of that group. And history will show you that the guy that was in school and he made the good grades and he did everything the way he was supposed to, he was normally the guy coming back to the 20-year class reunion as a success story, as opposing to the class favorite, you know, the guy that kept everybody laughing. You know, so
yeah, I know what you mean, but like,
yeah, ultimately, go ahead.
I just don't I just don't get it. Like, some of the other people think, I've had sex, but like, I don't care if you've had sex with this person, I could hear less. And like, I can be a funny guy and I can tell jokes and everything like that. I just don't get that. How people are always like, yeah, fuck this, and like, they make the other girl seem like such a whore.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, right now, go ahead, I'm sorry.
But like, some people do, like, this, like, people have been together, like, I talked about old ages, like, 15 and 16, like, sometimes they, like, do stuff with other, like, with each other, like, out of love and stuff like that, but I'm not talking about that, like, I'm talking about the people that have been together for, like, a week, and they've already had sex, like, 10 times.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, my take on that is, you know, sex and relationships, they take on a lot of responsibility, even as far as emotionally draining a person. If they're putting too much into that person and not putting enough into themselves. So, thing about it,
I don't know. I don't hear anything, but okay.
Okay.
All right, Dylan.
Hold on. All right,
Dylan. Huh? Wait a minute.
The thing about it is, hold on a second, Dylan. The thing about it is, if you're 15 or 16, your focus should be more on your future. Sex will come in time, and it'll come at an age when you're more responsible in your 20s, you're responsible enough to be able to handle everything that comes along with sex. Because let's say you use protection and still a child comes of that situation. That's a whole nother ballpark. So all of these things will come in time, you know, and maybe people don't feel that they're with the in crowd or whatever the case may be. Hey, just be your own man. You blaze your own path, and if some people want to be on your path with you, that's fine. If they don't, then that's fine too. You let them do whatever they're doing. But if you feel that you have to gel into a situation to fit what everybody else is doing, then you're nothing but a cow. You're nothing but cattle. You're not a leader in that situation at all. So do yourself a favor and do what you think would be best for you, regardless to what other people might say or think.
I just wanted to know your opinion on it.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely, man.
All right. Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
I got
Thank
something
you,
to add to that, too.
Okay, well, go ahead, Joe.
If you like a girl that is promiscuous, nothing wrong with that. But if you like a girl too much, then what you want, possibly, is to have an exclusive or a semi-exclusive relationship. but the girl is not at this particular time having that kind of mindset. So if she's, I don't think there's anything, well, at 16, I think that something as Lo was talking about, that's, you can't end up being a mistake because you can get pregnant. But let's say even if the girl is 16 or even if the girl is 25 or 30, and if she's, you know, making love to men, there, you know, some people might say it's morally wrong. I don't. I think it's a woman's body, and if she's not harming another guy, then there's nothing wrong with it. So, but if you know of a girl that is that likes sex, you're not, most likely she's not going to settle down. So I would say don't really get to like a girl who is sowing her oats the same way that guys do, because she's not willing to settle down with anybody. And just save yourself that emotional turmoil. Just let her do her thing, and you find a girl that wants to be exclusive, you know, that doesn't like to, that likes to, doesn't like to go around from guy to guy. I don't think it's morally wrong, but at the age of 16, I think it's irresponsible because girls can get pregnant easily. They don't know how to, they don't know how to tell a guy, you know, put it on. So,
or diseases.
You know, so that's my advice.
I've been with my girlfriend for almost five months. I just want to know how you guys thought of it.
Mhm. Enjoy your relationship, man.
Yeah.
And what can happen is, if you bring sex into a relationship, it can change your relationship, maybe even for the worse. So if matter of fact, have you and your girlfriend had sex?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what you do. Wait for it, and I'll tell you why. If sex is so important to some people right now that they can't go without it, but if you and your girlfriend decide, hey, you know, we want this to be special, we want it to mean something when we do it, if you guys can be true to each other with that, then you have something special. You know, these hit it and quit it, they're going to come and go with these other people. They're just doing what they see the people on TV do, you know. And ultimately, they won't be happy because somebody will wind up with a disease, somebody will wind up with a baby. You have a thousand different scenarios out there that's going to play out. Nothing has changed under the sun. All of this stuff has happened before. None of it is new. So, like I say, you and your girlfriend, just stay true to each other and understand that all of the sex and the emotions that come with sex, it's going to be there sooner or later. Don't force it.
All right.
There's another thing. Yeah, there's nothing I want to add to that, though. Are you especially generous with this girl, Dylan? I mean, have you been spending money on her, taking her places, making her feel happy and things like that? Huh?
Yeah, kind of, like, basically, because she was in, like, kind of a harsh relationship, like, before, so I just kind of came in and helped with everything. But, like, you know, she said I'm the best boyfriend she's ever had.
All right, and you've been with her for 5 months, and you haven't had sex with her, right?
Yeah.
Okay, has she had sex with other guys?
No.
No, oh, okay.
Jeez.
Then Anlo's advice is pretty good, because what I was thinking was, at the age of 13, 14, 15, and 16, there are girls and there are guys who have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and that girl, let's say it's a girl. Let's say the girl is telling the guy that she really, really likes him, but she wants to wait, and so she makes the guy wait, but the guy is spending money, treating her like a queen. Yet, on the side, she has other guys that she's going to for sex. And that's not right. Huh?
Listen, she's like really religious. And she is like so serious about not cheating on somebody else.
Well, then Enlo's advice is very, very appropriate then. You know, you don't wait for it, wait till it's special. Both of you are together enjoying each other's company. You don't have to rush into it because other people are.
Yeah,
you know. Just enjoy each other's company and, you know.
All right.
Just keep the lines of communication open.
All right. Well, thank you, Tim, for calling in, man.
All right.
Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Mm-hmm. All right. 111, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi. I was wondering, I was watching the news and I saw this guy, South of Rambo, they're calling him Chris Dorner, the policeman. Do you think that, because I'm looking at it and I'm seeing there's a, like they're using, they got like drones out looking for him. They got like everything. So I'm thinking, hey, there, does he know something that they don't want us to know, you know? Because they're, when it comes to other stuff like this, you know, serial killers, stuff like that, they don't bring in, like, military-grade drones. They don't bring in, you know, like, extremely high-powered rifles, military-grade equipment, you know? Weird. It's a weird scenario.
Well, then, no, I mean, he would blow the top off the LAPD again. I mean, there's a lot of corruption going on there. And,
yeah.
You know, if you're a cop killer or if you're a rogue cop, the cops are, see, the cops are fearful for their lives. They don't give a rat's ass about our lives. But when they know they're going to be hunted, they're bringing in all the military shit, and then they're going to use that against us as well.
All right. Thank you for your call, sir. Have a great day.
Romney 2012.
Okay.
What happened?
Right.
2012.
Yeah, something 2012. It's a bunch of kids, man. I was trying to get y'all hushed long enough so I can get them off the air.
Oh, okay.
I mean, for some reason, we got a rush of kids all of a sudden. I don't know what happened.
Well, I tell you what, though, that last caller,
that one,
man, eight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the last caller. You know, mm-hmm. I think you know, and some people say you never get any points across, or you never help anyone on shows like this, but you mm-hmm. know, that last kid, he actually sounded sincere, you know.
Well, the one
oh,
about
the Dylan?
He kept,
yeah, he was sincere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because I talked to him before I let him on the air, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hold on, let's bring Ebony in.
Oh, my baby. Sweetheart.
Oh,
where have you been?
I don't know, where have you been? You just left me.
What did I do? Honey, I missed you so much.
I know you did. I know you did, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop declaring it to the whole world. It's supposed to be just between me and you. What's going on? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I started the bullshit. I know.
I just wanted to say hi to you guys. I just wanted to give you, I was listening on my way home from work. And I have to say, I got to give you guys props for the last caller. Well done, guys. I thought that was good advice.
Oh, how about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe wanted to run the girl under the bus, though. I'm glad he didn't, but he wanted to.
Well, yeah, I wanted to find out if she was, you know, promiscuous, but she wasn't.
Right.
So, I mean.
Right.
Hey.
Right.
Oh.
Right. And that makes all the difference, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't making assumptions. That makes a change, Joe.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, honey.
We're slowly molding him, you know.
Oh, look at all this. Yeah. Okay.
Of course not.
No,
Ebony.
Yeah, yeah.
Ebony. Quick question for you. You know, I'm sure you know about our little problems that we have over here with the man in California and the thing that just happened on the East Coast. So, and as far as the drones and stuff, so what's your take on it? What would happen in the UK if these situations were to come about, even as far as the drones? What would happen over there?
Well, I don't know. We don't get that extreme with drones. I haven't seen them chasing drones yet. But what I would say is that, yeah, they'd have everybody out looking for him because he's a Rambo type. Okay, but I tell you what's interesting is that I've been on a few shows where I've heard people sort of really sympathetic towards him, really sort of almost saying, you know, you can be driven to the edge and this is what happens when people push you over. And he wrote this big kind of manifesto thing, didn't he? He wrote something saying, you know, why he's doing it and who he's targeting. I guess my take on it is that, you know, I'm going to have a lot of sympathy for you when you're taking out the people that you named, okay, those people that you feel wronged you, and maybe you have a reason, even though I don't think anybody should take life. Maybe we can see some logic in what you're doing, Not that I'm going to totally agree with you ever taking anybody's life, okay? But if you start taking innocent people's lives, then it gets scary. And I get that he wants to go down in history in a big way, but I don't know, coming out in a body bag eventually, because they will get him eventually. I don't know if that's the right way for him to make his you know, his words, you know, make himself heard. So I'm just, that's my only concern, that, you know, I guess there are a lot of disaffected people out there. I worry so much for our young people who really take in those messages. And you know what? The interesting thing is he'll do this. A few years from now, someone else will copy it and, you know, and do it and come and do it and try and upstage it and do it even better and bigger, because that's the world we live in. You know, you've got to look at all the school shootings that we've had in the past years. It's been done before and it keeps getting bigger. And you just wonder where it's all going to stop.
Actually, the crimes against kids have been going down since 2008. It's the media that has been publicizing all of this in order to have gun control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because a lot of people are thinking that homicides against kids and the Columbine type of homicides are on the rise. They're not. They're on the decline. It's because the government wants control. Now they're bringing in drones to hunt this guy. You know they're going to be civilians killed, like what happened few days ago. There were, people in a car? There was something like 20 to 30 or 40 bullets pumped into a car. None of them had guns, but the cops, they're on edge, and because they're on edge, civilians got to die.
That's right.
You know that kind of adds, though, it adds to the mystique of what are they trying to hide? You know, why they want to really? Drones?
Oh, yeah.
You know, really? Yeah. Drones? I mean, they don't put drones. Look, they don't put drones out for escaped prisoners.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? That man is right now the movie Will Smith, the enemy of the state. That man is the enemy of the state right now.
Uh-huh. Right. He is.
I wonder if he could have done it any other way. That's all I wonder.
I'm sorry to talk over you, but I'm sure he tried to go about it the democratic
he
way.
He did.
Through his, I know he did.
Yeah.
Because he figured that they were, his police union attorney was going to be there to help him, and all these people were going to rally around him and say it's an injustice, and he would be back on the force, and everybody would be happy. But since it didn't happen that way, this is what you get.
Well, it wasn't just that, too. I mean, what you're saying, Lo, is 100% correct. But there was a particular part of that manifesto which got me, and it was that he was depressed since 2008. So, I mean, he's been suffering for 5 years because of what the police force and his fellow officers have been ganging up on him to make sure that he wasn't going to get justice.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this guy did suffer. It wasn't as though a few occasions happened, he snapped, and that's, you know, and now we got this guy in the run. It's been happening to him for over 5 years.
Yeah. Wow.
And I have no qualms whatsoever. Like, I'll repeat myself. He can kill all the fucking cops he wants. Okay.
Look, don't get Joe started on that again.
All right. Because I mean, the cops are not there to protect the people.
Don't get Joe started on that again, please.
But it's just, I guess it's just the innocent life that you don't want taken.
Well, the innocent life, but like Eric was talking about, when you're bringing in the drones, and if they start bombing because they think this guy's in a safe house or something, you know civilians are going to die, and then and what are we going to do? We're like Pakistan.
My partner from Richmond posted something on Facebook. He said it's almost a powder keg, almost. It's getting to the point where soon something is going to happen. Something is going to make that powder keg explode. And, you know, it's not going to be too many instances where the cop's going to be able to shoot on innocent civilians that's just driving down the road, you know.
Well, like I said, it's a slow kill. I mean, remember when I was talking about the cameras in New York City? They have these out in the open. They have these, not the cameras, they are these X-rays, scatter X-ray trucks, and they examine other trucks as they're going through checkpoints, and they do it through. They've got these machines which can penetrate 14 inches of steel with X-rays. They are killing Americans. You will see in the next 5, 6, 7 years such a rise in cancer.
Absolutely.
You won't believe it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if I'm visiting the States again.
What happened?
I don't know if I'm visiting the States again. You're going to have to come to the UK, Joe. It definitely, that's the way it is. I don't have to bring that story up again, but now you've confirmed it. I'm not coming your side. You're going to have to come to me.
You know, how long have you had these delusions?
Huh? One day.
Look, Joe lives up in mountains in Montana. He good.
Yeah, but I ain't going up into no mountain with anybody, right? He needs to come.
Yeah, I'll take a vacation. I'm sure you'll be waiting for me at the airport. Yeah. Right. You know what'll happen? I'll say, Ebony, I'm coming over. I'm taking the next flight out.
Okay, Joe. You know, and then
she'll be in bed, and I'll be landing in the airport. Ebony, where are you? Oh, you really here? Well, come look me up. Okay. And then instead of this, Joe, you got to come over now. You got to come over.
Wow.
I'll be over there. She'll go. Well, I'm out to lunch right now, Joe. I'll see you when I come back. Yeah.
Well, you trying to come for a surprise visit? Is it a surprise visit? Are you telling me you can't plan it?
Now, we were talking about Chris Dorner.
I love it when you get scared. That's
yeah,
nice.
that's me.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I just called in to say hi to you guys because, you know, you're doing a good job. So keep it up.
Oh, why, thank you. Going to plug this show tomorrow. You got a show tomorrow?
Yeah, I do, actually. I have a show tomorrow. But, you know, you all know my birthday's coming up on Thursday, right?
Okay? No.
It is. It's my birthday on Thursday.
Well, we know now.
Yeah,
well,
now we know.
I'm just saying it to everybody. It's on Valentine's Day. That's my birthday. So I'm going to have a show tomorrow. We're probably going to be talking about love or something. I don't know. How to get you single guys married.
How to get used to a what?
How to get you single guys married.
You guys married.
Yeah. Right.
Look, it got kind of quiet then, didn't it?
Yeah.
You hear that? Or even just have to get you a date, and that might mean how to get you to buy a plane ticket. Whew, who knows?
Uh-oh.
Hey. Uh-oh. Yeah, you make that a topic, all right?
And on Wednesday, I'm definitely we're going to talk about all the complexities of love. I'm talking to James Valentine on Wednesday. So there's no show on Thursday, but we're going to talk about the complexities of love on Wednesday. And and that's because it's a pre-Valentine warm-up for those people who haven't got dates for another year, you know, and want one next year. Maybe they need to think about how they get through the complexities of love and achieve that date or that marriage, you know, whatever you need, whatever works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's over the next couple of days. But I've got an amazing date. On Thursday, which is why I'm not doing my show. I've got an amazing date. I'm going to this restaurant in you guys know London, but on the Thames in London.
Oh, the Thames.
The River Thames. We have some amazing restaurants on the river, and they're in riverboats, right? That are moored up, and I'm going to be going to a lovely restaurant there, and I can't wait.
She can't wait at all.
That's all.
Yeah.
There y'all go.
Cannot wait.
All right.
What's that?
Oh, the phone's going off.
Someone just called me. Sorry.
What'd you do? Bring the background music of the restaurant?
Wow.
Well, Joe, I was going to invite you, but you can't make it in time, so there you go.
And I was trying so hard.
So have you guys got dates for Valentine's? Come on. I know I'm winding you up, but have you got dates? Silence? Have you got that guy's got dates for Valentine's?
That's just a quiet way of saying none of your business.
No, okay.
Yeah. I'm not telling you my love life, but you got to be out of your mind. Please. And then if I didn't have a date, you'd say, well, Joe, you've got to come over. And, you know, as soon as I finish my birthday celebration, then maybe I'll visit you as you come up. You know what? She'll dump me as soon as I get to England. So don't listen to her with her, Joe, you've got to come because I really would like to see you. Oh, shit.
Oh, you're just scared.
Dump me as soon as I got off the plane.
Wow.
And I would know it. I just go over to the River Thames, or I just visit Big Ben, or I go over to Piccadilly Circus.
You never know until you try, and sometimes you've got to be a bit positive and step outside your comfort zone, okay? At least you know when you come to the UK, you won't be hit by drones, okay?
That's only for now. Let me tell you something seriously.
Yeah.
The UK is the training ground for the United States. Everything that's going on in the UK is a precursor to what's going to happen in the United States, because everything that's happened in the UK is happening here.
Mm-hmm. So we haven't had drones.
That's true. That's true.
You don't have drones yet because you don't have a rogue cop. You don't have an excuse yet. But if you have another 7-7, you will have drones.
Yeah, I hear that.
It's 7-7. It's not 7-11, right? It's 7-7, right?
I don't know. I guess it's 7-7.
Wow. That's serious there.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the bullshit that's going on in the UK, you wouldn't believe.
Well, we copy everything that you guys do, and you copy what we do. That's how it is. We're cousins. That's why we're cousins.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, I know.
That's what they say.
You know what? As a matter of fact, on a serious note, they just fired the Baton Rouge, which is our capital here in Louisiana. They just fired him last week because it's all the crime in Baton Rouge. They just fired him, the police chief.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't the chief for maybe 2 years at the most, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
He just fired him.
Well, you know, Louisiana, Los Angeles, and New York are the three, and Chicago are the four most corrupt police cops in the United States.
Leave it.
I mean, Louisiana's got a history of corrupt cops, just like L.A., just like New York, and just like Chicago.
Yeah. Yep. Now, after they did all that talk, and they brought this man in, and he was supposed to be in the guardian angel that was coming in to change all these things and to bring about all this positive image of Baton Rouge and everything, none of that stuff happened.
But like you said, Lo. You know, they were all answerable to somebody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, the thing that I'd always noticed is, as long as certain neighborhoods stay crime-free on the surface, it doesn't really matter. You know, you expect bad things to happen over there on the bad side. You expect that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you expect that, and everybody gets accustomed to it, but in actuality, it shouldn't be that way. I know of cities that have policemen living in those bad neighborhoods. Everything still happens. Police departments on that crime-filled corner.
Yeah.
But nothing ever happens. I mean, just like you said, Joe, you had two pigs sitting in that conductor's booth. Watching a guy get assaulted.
You're right. And that brings up a very important point. I mean, again, if they're not legally obligated to protect the public, why are we fucking paying these people?
That is a good point. That is a very, very, very good point. Why?
Oh, yeah. I got to ask Ebony before she leaves. Is she there?
Yeah, she's still there.
Ebony, the Bobbies, are they still not carrying guns, or do they carry guns?
No, we have certain forces that carry guns for special circumstances. So like your guy, you know, they would be coming out to chase him with guns. But normally we don't have guns on the street, no.
Wow. And how's the crime rate?
It's horrendous. Bad in some areas. It's not so bad in other areas. But, you know, mm-hmm. we don't have as many shootings as you guys have because people know that if they bring a gun out, then the police are going to come in force with guns. So it's like it doesn't really happen. People, there are more knife crimes and other crimes, but not necessarily so many gun crimes. Right? Because mm-hmm. people aren't allowed to carry guns. You're not allowed to guard your house with a gun either.
Really? That doesn't stop the criminals from having guns.
Yeah, the criminals will try and do that. But, you know,
Right. And you mentioned, and I didn't mean to cut you out, but you mentioned a nicer crime. Let me tell you something. If I worked 30 years, saved up my money for my retirement, I would rather you take a pistol and shoot me in my face, kill me, as opposed to you going and telling me after I worked all these years, your 401k or your retirement is moot because the company went belly up or somebody stole all the money. And this guy maybe go to prison for 2 or 3 years maximum. And his prison cell is bigger than my home. And when he gets out, he still has all of my money. So I'd rather you go ahead and shoot me.
I'd rather we go ahead and shoot him.
Nice crime.
Well, no, how can either be nice? I mean, come on. What is the nice thing about any crime and about anybody shooting you or stabbing you? There's nothing nice, okay?
Right.
It's all really not good stuff. Whatever it is, it's not good.
That's my point.
Yeah, so it's not nice.
Well, not a little.
I didn't mean that, you know. It's just that. People should just not be killing people, full stop, right? But that's what happens. It's just that here we don't have so many guns as you guys do. That's all. I guess more people would take the choice to shoot you as opposed to stab you or, you know, take a hammer and
you may not have as many guns, but with the debate with Morgan, Pierce Morgan, and Alex Jones, there was some follow-up on that. They didn't have another debate, but there was a follow-up, a reality check on that. And in England, you have fewer guns, but I think the percentage of people in England who have committed crimes are more, you know, per capita or per ownership of guns than in the United States.
Really?
I think so. I
always think that, you know, stats can be played with, depending on who wants to win the argument. But I would say from living in, you know, well, it's true, you know, but from living in the UK all my life, I have to say crime has been high in some, you know, in the 80s, I'd say crime was very high in a lot of instances. But, you know, in the last sort of 10, 20 years, it's still there. It just isn't as obvious, I suppose. You don't hear as much. But I guess it's like if you're tuned into the news, right, like you will be in your country, you hear more, you're more, you know, you feel there's more happening than what is necessarily happening in reality. Do you get what I'm saying? But I don't tune into the news, so to me there isn't that much crime.
Well, you're going to have a lot of crime with the EastEnders than you are with people who are living near the castle.
No, not necessarily.
But see, y'all have a whole slew of cameras also, don't you?
We have cameras everywhere now.
Yeah.
It is a police state, definitely. And I guess the reason why, a lot of people have stopped driving, more people take public transport, is because the whole camera thing has been a nightmare. You spend so much money on fines because, you know, a camera can catch you so easily. You know, there's so much intrusion with the whole camera.
But you've still got your CCTVs in the buses and in the trains. You can't walk down the street without a camera somewhere photographing you.
And it's hard. I know a lot of people now who are going back to live in Africa and the Caribbean because they're just fed up of it. You know, that whole living in a police state, it's like Big Brother. You know, that's how we're living. But, you know, some people give themselves the reasons as being it reduces crime. But, you know, I beg to differ. It's still happening. It hasn't stopped anybody. There was a guy just last week who went to prison for 20 years for chopping up his sister, killing her and then cutting her throat and then cutting her body up into bits and putting her body in like a river. And they caught him on camera with the bag and the knife and everything, right?
Mm.
In 40 years, you would have never been able to catch someone that easily, because where would be the evidence apart from if you were seen by someone? But now, you know, they just go check the cameras by the rivers, and there he was, carrying a bag and a knife, having killed his own sister. So, you know, in those instances, everybody says, isn't it great we've got cameras?
Except
for the sister.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, everybody jumps in. That's why we have the cameras. That's why we need cameras, right?
A lot of people are still saying, you know, well, it's for our protection. They don't know the history of governments.
Well, you know, I went to an estate because I work in social housing and community development, and I went to an estate where every part of the estate was covered by a camera. Every part, right? And they had a really high crime rate before they instilled the cameras. This is CCTV. And there was one guy sitting in the operating room handling something like about 120 or more cameras on an estate. And he said the crime rate, and they had the stats for it, had gone from something like about 50-60% down to less than 10%. And the reason being that no one could hide on that estate. There is, you know, if people were putting plants outside their houses, you know, you could leave your bike out. You felt absolutely free to do anything because the cameras were watching. And
was that a private estate?
No, social housing.
Ooh.
And we went and knocked the doors and asked the residents, and some of them had been living there for over 20 years, and they said, you know what, we didn't want cameras in here, but now the cameras are here, we realize that we can finally live. We can live because I can leave stuff outside my house. I know that it won't be taken because people know that they will get caught. Or women who are, you know, are being harassed by partners. You know, if the guy's put out, he's not going to try and come back in because your picture's on camera. You'll never get back into that property. You'll never be able to go there and harass somebody because before you even get to the front door, they can lock you in the building and call the police.
You know, but what does that really say about the state of the world, man? I mean, really.
Yeah.
The way you have to have cameras everywhere just to feel like as though you can live.
Yeah.
You know what?
Wow.
They told me. We can live. We're safe now.
I was like, wow.
On
a private basis, if let's say it was a private estate, which is why I asked you if it was a private estate, if they had cameras, I wouldn't. I know. But if it were a private estate, I wouldn't have any problem with it. But the thing is that whatever's good can also be bad. For example, if you are a dissident, if you're somebody who just puts up a Facebook page and you're against the government, they'll know about it, and they can take action against you. That is the history of government. They've done it already for people up on Facebook. One Block Talk radio guy has already been taken off the air. That's for a different thing, though. But there was another Block Talk guy that was pissing off the wrong people. So, you know, the government is there ostensibly to protect, but they don't protect well. What they do well is protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's as though people have still forgotten about history, about Mao Zedong and Hitler and Stalin. These people, they came, Hitler was elected. Mao, I think he came in by revolution. I think Stalin came in, I forget if it was by revolution or
revolution.
Revolution. And the people, about how they got there, they still were welcomed by the people, just like Castro was when they first took power. But what happened? These people became obsessed with power, and they started killing off the people just because they could.
But then again, you've got to think logically, right? If you go into a forum, okay, a social forum that, you know, that's already owned by a certain group of people, and you use that platform to expound views that you know are anti-government, do you really think they're going to allow you to do that for too long? That's not going to happen. You know,
you should be allowed.
There is no freedom of speech. Get over it. There is no freedom.
Wait a minute. What do you mean there is no freedom of speech? Get over it.
There is no true freedom. I said freedom of speech. People who think that.
Yeah, but that last part about get over it. If you want to accept it, you can.
I say get over it.
I agree.
Meaning to say that those, even if you say I don't agree with it, the way that the system works.
No. You're an expert at backtracking.
No, what I'm saying, they've already eliminated.
Here we go. Here's what I mean is what she's going to say now. She says something in plain, simple English, and then
You know what I mean by get over it? I mean that there is no choice already. When I say get over it.
Then you don't say get over it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's my expression.
Well, it's wrong. I know what you meant.
You know what I meant. Good.
I know what you meant. Great. But no. I know what you meant. Not what you wanted us to think you meant.
Actually, I'm sorry.
You're a mind reader?
You better believe it.
Actually, though, there are some steps that you would have to get the people to come together. There are some steps to that would go to differ as far as saying there's nothing we can do. There's a ton of things that can be done. You know, first and foremost, you get the sorry bastard that you elected that's not doing a damn thing for you. You get his ass out of there. And I'm not just talking about one state or one city or one town. You have to get you would have to get all these, as I like to call them, sheeple on the same page. I mean, if you never do that, nothing is going to change. You get all these people for the majority. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree, Rob. I agree that you can try and challenge people to change their thinking. I think where we've gone in terms of, like, when you talk about controlling people through cameras and whatever, where we've gone is because of the amount of people who are sheep, okay, and who are bought off left, right, and center by the state and what they put out, okay. And it gets worse. And so there is now, the way that I look at it, there are a few people left who will kick up against anything that comes out there that isn't right for us and that is eliminating our freedoms or that is persecuting us in a way that we can't see. There is only a few people that can see it, and that's how it is. And the majority of people will not see it because the majority of people are sheep. That's the way it is. That's how I see it.
All right.
Just get over it, all right?
Yeah, get over it.
I don't know why Joe got to bother you.
You know what? Joe just loves to. He loves to try and get in my head, but he can't. Right?
No. I'm leaving that one alone.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything either.
Wow.
Joe, Chef Promptly. Joseph Rob said, who got thrown off Blog Talk?
Yeah, there was one person got off Blog Talk. Again, it was it wasn't because of the government. But it wasn't because of the government that we're talking about. What happened, he pissed off somebody who called the cops, and the cop came to this guy's house.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he got taken off that way. And there was another person who either got taken off or either was about to get taken off because of what he was saying. And my memory is sketchy on the details.
Hmm. Wow.
Well, I know someone who had a show, and it kept being blocked out. And when I listened to the show, I knew why.
You did, huh?
Yeah, it kept getting blocked out. It would just... Like, they'd be recording the whole show, and then when they finish, it's not there.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that has to be Blog Talk.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
You know, the thing is that you should be, with free speech, allowed to say anything you want without the government doing anything.
Well, it depends on what you're saying.
Well, you can't lie, and you can't yell fire, because that's lying. You know, you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater, because that's a lie. You can't have slander. That's common sense. But just because you don't like the government, you should be allowed to speak out against the government.
Right, or and in the situation that you're telling the truth about the government.
That usually will get you in trouble.
That's right.
Now, if you're lying, that's one thing. But if you're telling the truth, you say, hey, look at this. Look at that. Look at that over there. And, I'm all for it. You know, the quote-unquote change that was supposed to came up recently. Hey, you know, I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I still see people suffering the way they were suffering before the change came. Some even worse.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know,
yeah.
So.
You know, hey, as we always say, depends on how deep your pocket is. That's how you see the change. That's where you see the change is.
Absolutely. I'll go with that.
You know, with the Dorna situation, now this guy was smart. And if he could evade the police for a bit longer, let's say he killed a few more cops. If he was smart after that, he would arrange an interview with one of the top journalists. You know, a very private interview. And have his story told. Because you know, once the cops get a hold of him, all of a sudden, there was an accident. I don't know what happened, but he died on the way to the jailhouse.
Yeah, that sounds good in theory, but you know, someone get wind of it, and then next thing you know, he'd be all surrounded.
The cops would be all over.
Yeah, and then, you know, you got a shootout going on, which you would love.
The thing about it, though, even if he was to arrange a private meeting with some journalist, the thing about it is the cops will spin it. They'll spin it around, and they'll hold the journalist and probably arrest him.
Well, he's got to be a brave journalist. Journalists.
Yeah, you're right.
They're the ones that are really, you know, journalists and whistleblowers and honest cops, if there are any, and honest judges. They're what's holding our country together. And you have to be a brave journalist. But, you know, as a matter of fact, I know a couple of journalists who would do it. Maybe he knows of them. Hopefully he would. But there are investigative journalists who would give their right arm to have an interview with this guy now.
Now, the major networks are licking their chops, hoping, just wishing that, you know, he give them a call. Rob says you can't trust journalists. A lot of CIA, FBI, and law enforcement.
Absolutely true.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe somebody wants to put out a call from Blog Talk saying we'd like to speak to him.
We got to find a number first.
He'll find you.
Yeah, that's
even in the situation as far as the whistleblowers are concerned. I was watching something on. 60 Minutes. This guy was big time in the financial business. I think that he was helping people that had a lot of money funnel their money to the Cayman Islands and places like that. Mm-hmm. And he wound up blowing the whistle on all of these people.
Yeah,
and what they did, they arrested him, and the only thing that happened to those people that was hiding all of their money over there, it was maybe like 13,000 people. 4,500 of those people were actually the ones that felt some kind of backlash, but the rest of them, nothing.
Yeah, right. He got something like, I forget, I thought it was like 2 years, but it may be even longer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about the Swiss bank accounts, right?
Yeah. I remember that one.
And the whistleblower. Yeah, that's another thing Obama ran on, that he was going to make sure that the whistleblowers got better protection. Yeah, right.
Oh, dear.
The whistleblowers are going to get their drones on their birthday.
Okay. All right, we're going to leave it right there. We're going to leave it right there with the drones. Okay. Ebony, last words?
Oh, I just hope people go out and listen to my new show. I've got a new show called The Inspirational Hour, which went out on Saturday, so you'd need to go and listen to the archive. But it was a really, really great show, and I'm going to be doing an inspirational hour every week now. So that's my final word.
All right. When you say inspirational, what are you talking about?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm interviewing people from the UK. I haven't got any Americans yet in my lineup, but there are people in the UK that you guys might not know who are doing really great stuff in the community, trying to really support young people, especially to have better lives and to become more entrepreneurial as well. So what I'm asking them to do is to tell me about what they do in the community, but also for them to offer something to a young person. So that may be some mentoring. It may be for an opportunity for them to, you know, to get to shadow them in the work that they do, or, you know, or they give them some work, something that they have to give something back. And I'm using my show as that, each one teach one.
I think that's terrific.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, Joe, your final words.
I don't have much to say at the end. That's it. Nothing.
Whatever, Joe. Okay. All right, Mr. Lowe.
All right. Hey, good show, everybody. I really enjoyed this one today.
That's it?
That's it.
Boy, I tell you, y'all getting shorter, shorter, and shorter every day.
Hey, you go ahead and finish out with your commentary, man, and bring it on home.
I know I will. Yeah, I ain't got much to say either today. All right, y'all, once again, we had another great show. And chat room, I tell you, the chat room was hopping, man. I tell you, boy, we had it going on for a minute. I want to thank Bob Benny and Rob and Shasta and A-Nav and... If I missed anybody, I do apologize, because it was still a lot of you up in there. So thank you once again for joining me. Everybody listening out there on the phones, I appreciate it, because without you, I wouldn't have a show. Now, for my final closing words, look, you know, yes, I agree that Mr. Domner shouldn't killing wasn't the right way to do. However, I do believe that he actually has a legitimate case. Apparently he does. If they're out there sending drones and manhunts and everything after this guy, it's more to it than what we really know. Now, hopefully we'll find out more, hopefully not. I'm kind of with Joe. Now, I hope he stay out there for a while so we really get more information on it. Who knows? One of us on Blog Talk may actually get an interview. That's wishful thinking. Also, a little thing I was talking about as far as the president and the youth group in Chicago that wants him to come and give a speech about gun violence. I think being that he is from Chicago, he kind of owes that to him. I know everybody, he the president, he don't own, yes, he does. You know, that's where he grew up, and actually where the young lady got shot is basically in his neighborhood where he grew up at. So, yes, I think he needs to go in and make amends up in that neighborhood as well, you know, because he grew up there and those are his people. Okay? I'm sorry, y'all. Rob doing some stuff in the chat room like he always does. But and that's about it. Let's see, tomorrow's show is, if I'm not mistaken, what is tomorrow's show? Things Christians Have Wrong with God, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, something, anyway, it's got to do with Christianity and Christians having problems with things with God. So 2 p.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to do the dang on thing like we always do. The panel is always here, you know. Oh, yeah, I got to give a special call out. And, you know, to Rob's favorite person, Mr. Solution, your presence has been requested by a listener. So you need to get on back in on council. All right. Okay. Well, y'all, this will do it for me. Oh, yeah. Don't forget March 13th. There's a novel coming out called No Condemnation by Dr. Vivi Monroe Congress. And y'all make sure y'all mark that down. You get the book on Amazon.com. Okay, or go to a page, www.drvivimonroecongress.com. Okay, hey, check it out, because I'm getting mad. Okay, y'all, well, until then, I'll see y'all tomorrow. Y'all have a good one. Make sure you get a special someone a hug. Tell them you love them, you appreciate them. Hey, if it just means just talking to them on the phone, either or. Just make it happen, all right, because you never know when they won't be here for you. then you're going to wish you had done all those great things. Until tomorrow, y'all have a good one, man. I'm out of here.
Talk this, talk this, talk this, talk this, talk this.